Eureka! You found us! Welcome to the Check Out California Radio Show, your key to California hospitality. Hosted by Rad Gantos, principal of Rad Gantos & Associates, a hospitality and commercial real estate design firm. And Craig Sullivan, chief development officer of Broughton Hotels, a boutique hotel management company. Check Out California is focused on our state's hospitality, travel, and tourism markets, and on the large part they play in California's vibrant and innovative economic diversity and unique quality of life. Now, here are your hosts, Rad Gantos and Craig Sullivan.
Oh, hello. I'm sorry. I'm reaching for some water.
Good afternoon and welcome to Check Out California. We've got Rad Gantos and Craig Sullivan here. We've also got our engineer Paul in the corner.
Yes, sir.
Say hi, Paul.
I was getting some water because things were getting heated in here about an hour or so ago when I did.
We did an earlier show,
and so we promise to behave.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, was that out loud? But we do have a great guest today, and a friend of the show's, and a friend of ours that we've known for a while, and a legend. Wouldn't you say a living legend in his own right?
Absolutely. He is one of the very best people you could ever hope to meet. And, you know, we go back, probably close to 20 years, but really the strength of our friendship has certainly been in the past 7 to 10 years. And
well, let's meet him.
So I just want to make sure. Glenn, are you still floating in the Dead Sea, or are you?
Yeah, I'm actually calling you from the Dead Sea. Ah, got a little sailing in my eye, so.
We've got Mr. Glenn Houseman with us from Rouse Media.
I feel here, I'm sure, is not as bad as the pain you guys are going to have having to talk to me today. So,
Actually, Glenn, it was more about, you know, you're always doing the interviewing. Now you're going to be the interviewee. So that's going to be a little different for you.
You know, I think I want to put money on the table. Because if he actually will sit still and be interviewed versus turn the tables and start interviewing us, you know, but this should be an interesting. So anybody who's listening, a little background on Glenn. he's laughing. I can hear him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm already wanting to ask questions.
See, this is what I'm talking about. You know, you can't sit still. You can make sure you know that you're floating at least, right? Don't electrocute yourself. But you
California, floating is pretty easy over there.
Oh, really?
You're right.
Really? Yeah. Guilty. What? So, are you back? Are you back from your trip? You looked like you had a great trip back in Israel.
I'm physically back from my trip, but mentally, I still think I'm in the land of Israel. What a spectacular place to get a chance to go and experience.
Now, what took you over there? I know there was a special reason you went, right?
Yeah, Delta Airlines. They flew me right over there. But
not United?
Not United. I figured I had enough danger going to
exactly.
Israel. I didn't need to get that on the flight, too. But it was actually an opportunity to get my twin boys bar mitzvahed at the Western Wall, which was a very special and amazing experience.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov, yeah.
Thank you.
And
I found out in Israel it's actually mazel tov.
Mazel tov,
okay.
All of us here in the United States, whenever we use the Hebrew or the Yiddish, we're putting our emphasis on the wrong syllables, and it's not. It makes everyone look at you really strange. You should have seen me try and order falafel. It was not going well.
So how do you say falafel?
I don't know.
Did you eat at least? You were okay?
I had lots of great falafel. I had one falafel sandwich that was bigger than my head, so I don't know how I managed to eat that. I still think I'm digesting it, although I think mostly shot out of me at a really rapid clip.
Yes, it's good, healthy, organic food.
Yeah.
How's your French, Glenn?
Probably as good as my Hebrew.
There we go. So that's where I was going. I wanted to see if it was going to be the same scenario where the
he puts the emphasis on the long syllable too in French, I think.
But what was great was that my wife and a very close family friend of ours who joined us for the trip, they both speak Hebrew mostly fluently, so I didn't have to worry about anything, although it was hard not to talk as much while I was there.
Well, so that was great. Good. You know, like as a professional seasoned traveler, you made sure that you brought in your translators with you. That's very good.
Yeah, that's right. And then, you know, I just got to sit around and shoot some videos and mostly
sweat. He's like, where is he going with this?
That's, you know, yeah.
So how long have you been doing No Vacancy?
I've been doing No Vacancy in this current iteration of the podcast about a year and a half now. We started in spring of 2016, and it's been a great ride ever since, especially since the format of this particular show expands just beyond the boundaries of the hardcore hospitality audience, more into the road warrior lifestyle and kind of the travel experience. As a matter of fact, on this week's show, not only, of course, do I talk about Israel, but we talk about ecotourism and why that is such an important thing and how people could be good stewards of eco-travel.
And since we're on it, where can people listen to the show and how do they get hold of the show?
Well, thank you so much for the plug so early on in the show. I appreciate that. Just go check it out at novacancy.libsyn.com or just follow me on @travelingglenn on Instagram or Twitter, and I'll get you all hooked up with all the links so you can join the newsletter. But I got a brand new website coming soon that's going to have all of this great audio content and video content, and I'm psyched about that.
Wonderful.
Make sure you put your picture riding on a camel on there.
Yeah, that's got to be on there.
That's a classic.
That is classic.
Well, wait till you guys see my video. I actually interviewed the camel.
You interviewed the camel?
She had a lot to say. Her comments varied from...
So you really chewed the cud with the camel? Is that what it is? So so it's a year and a half, but I know you've been doing that show in other iterations for a long time. Right?
Yeah, I did it for about 6 years prior to that. That's why I said in this later iteration. Yeah. It had a different name. I was working for a different company. I didn't own the product, so... this is my baby, but I really got to cut my teeth doing lots of great interviews over a lot of years.
So give us a little background. What did Glenn do before he did the radio show?
What did I do before the radio show? Mostly,
do you remember?
Stood around begging for lunch. But, other than that, I've been editor-in-chief of hospitality publications. I was an adjunct professor at New York University teaching consumer behavior and PR and advertising. And I've also, do a lot of public speaking at different events or around the country, mostly within the hospitality sphere. So
like Click.
Hospitality, I want to talk about it and just share my thoughts.
Yeah, Greg got his own plug going on right now. So
like Click. Yeah, opening up the California Lodging Investment Conference this year.
Yep.
What is Click, Greg?
Click is a one-day event focused on the California lodging industry. It's an investment conference where we brought in over 230 attendees.
In your first year.
First year, and we sold out. Glenn moderated and kicked off our conference and did an outstanding job. Glenn's been doing a number of conferences all around the country and is focused on the hotel sector, and that's why his podcast is so popular, and I've been lucky enough to be on it twice.
And just so we can get this all out of the way, Glenn, before we get back to you, how do people find out about Click, Greg?
Go to CLIconference.com. So our next event will be on March 8th at the Hilton Irvine Orange County Airport. And both Mr. Rad Gantos and Mr. Glenn Houseman will be there. And we will be having a full day of hospitality, financing, brands, trends, market studies. And if you're new to the hospitality sector, this is a great place to meet seasoned professionals and be able to educate yourself and be welcomed into what I feel is the best part of commercial real estate.
So all kidding aside, it was a great day. It was very efficient, very effective, convenient, especially with focus on California, which I was astounded when Greg told me last year that there was nothing that purely focused on California, which is what is it today? What size economy are we in the world today?
We are the sixth largest the last time I checked.
Yeah. So we've been holding at six for the last 3 months looking for
fifth. We may go up to the way sales of hotel assets are coming together in the state right now. So
Glenn, let's talk about this. You cover the industry pretty well. And
I have been for 20 years, if you could believe it.
Wow. Where does the time flies, right?
What's going on with us?
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
We're getting old.
So I'm gonna go back to this later, and I want to ask you about some of the highlights of those 20 years as far as interviewing people and stuff like that. So I'm preparing you, in advance.
Get your stories
ready. Get your stories set. I'm looking for some nice little colloquialisms and nice little, little backstories and stuff like that. Mics don't work. Somebody fell. Whatever you want to say.
Yep.
right? Food stuck in your teeth, you know, whatever. But what?
Well, one time I was on the Rad Life and I had a lot of trouble connecting, and I was on and off, and had to call back on my cell phone. So that was a treat.
Did you get that out of your system now? Can we get back to the show? Okay. All right. So anybody who's listening realizes we're pretty good friends. And so, you know, if you go to the show, if you go to Click next year, you'll get to see this Dog and Pony show as well. All right. But
I thought you wanted to help Craig get people.
I think I just ensured he outsells last year.
We need to take a quick break.
Okay, so hold, before we can take a break. No, hold on. Before we take a break, so here's what I want to talk about when we come back. I want to talk about what you're seeing, and definitely with the reference of your experience, relevant to the industry, that's important and interesting to point out right now. And then I also do want to come back at the end of the show and basically have you share some of your own kind of inside stories or bloopers or whatever. So let's take a break, and we'll be back with Mr. Glenn Houseman.
Just a moment.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy 3 with triple points on airfare. Buy 2 with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over 1 million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
All right, we're back.
So anybody who's been watching us on camera and realized that the screen was still reading the Rad Life, that was just me getting some free publicity at the expense of the Check Out California radio show. No, this is really live radio, and so we'll get back to
warts
Glenn and the warts and all and the bloopers and stuff. But for now, before we went on break, I asked Glenn if he could share some insights to what's going on with the industry, having experience of over 20 years of covering the hospitality industry. And Greg, did you have something?
I just want to say, if there's you know, anybody in our community that wants to call in and ask Glenn or us a question, please feel free at 949-330-7761.
Operator's standing by.
He lives.
That's our operator. That's scary.
He lives for that. Yeah. So, Glenn, what are you seeing? What do you, any interesting things that, you know, out there that you're covering, or things that you've encountered that you want to share?
A couple of things I want to share. I do want to say that I would like everybody in the hotel industry to do a little bit more thinking for themselves, as opposed to reporting back whatever group think is going on. I think it's a very dangerous thing that's infecting our business. Either things are super amazing and we're immune to everything, or things are really, really terrible. And if I hear anybody talk about what inning we are in the baseball game of this run in the hospitality industry one more time, I think I'm going to lose it, because we're not really looking at this business in the right way. If we increase, you know, 5-6% over a number of years, and this year we increase 2-3%, everybody thinks that the sky is falling. But after 8 years of really high returns, that 2% is still pretty significant, pretty mm-hmm. strong, pretty interesting.
It's a good number. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'm most concerned about is that I do really think the ship has sailed already with pricing power in the hospitality industry, if not absolutely everywhere, then in most parts of the country. And I think hoteliers would be wise at this point to start thinking about how to keep those costs under control. I understand that revenue is doing well, but and your people on staff are wanting more money. Sure, it might be good to invest in all of them, but don't get carried away. Do a double check of all of your systems in there and make sure that you are indeed doing the right thing. I've talked to a lot of management company guys lately, and this seems to be the number one concern of theirs right now.
Well, I've been talking to some people that are on the housing side, and they're all kind of bracing for another recession next year.
Yeah.
Very well could be. I mean, look at our political instability, and then that's going to add fuel to that fire.
Well, and the glut of commercial properties that are out there and the demise of retail. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's happening. And I think Glenn's point is very, very, very appropriate. And I don't know if your comments are going to fall on deaf ears or not, because I think it challenges people to actually get outside the realm of their comfort zone when you tell them, stop doing groupthink. Right. Stop doing crowdsourcing for ideas or names, or, you know, it's like, especially in a world of social media where my opinion is what the first 100 people who comment on my thing are, right? Or what my friends say. So how do we get that through? Because you and I could have had this conversation 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And if you had the awareness that you needed to be basically looking for a unique value proposition in any of these companies, any of these brands, we would be saying exactly the same thing. Stop groupthink, stop, you know, what industry standards, whatever, and start thinking for yourself. How do we get that to actually happen, Glenn?
I don't think we can, as it happens.
well, that's the end of that topic, ladies and gentlemen. Moving on to the next one.
I think it's up to each and every one of us to do that mental check and make sure that you are thinking in innovative ways. What are you, what are you reading? What are you doing? Are you wasting all of your time just posting anti-political statements on Facebook, or are you actually educating yourself in order to...
Not us.
Hey, I heard part of that last hour, and it got me all fired up.
He's mad as hell. He's not going to take it anymore.
For example, take a look. I'll put it in this way. Take a look at the quote-unquote lifestyle hotel segment of our business. I've always thought that the name lifestyle was kind of a cheat.
Isn't that what people do on the other side of the tracks after they leave their kids with the babysitter? I mean, that's an never mind. That's the alternative lifestyle hotel. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway,
right there with the alt right.
Right.
That's called a trailer park. That's what that's called. It's called.
You're from Michigan, of course. It's called the trailer park. Okay. So, go ahead.
Sorry, this New York liberal elite over here was.
This is Orange County, buddy. Don't.
Glenn, save me. I'm surrounded by Republicans.
Yeah. All right. So, I just so everybody knows, I'm not in a political party. I think I'm very moderate in my views. So, I'm all for us having fiscal responsibility and capitalism, but I also don't feel that we should leave people behind.
Right.
Putting that into the framework of the hotel industry, I think the hotel industry is making a big mistake, and it is leaving a lot of people behind in terms of being able to appeal towards their actual wants and their actual desires.
Like, give an example, Glenn.
We talked, for example, about these lifestyle hotels, which I think is a name that I said is a cheat, because all it really meant was a nicer design package. And what we got was a lot of different hotel brands that started creating exactly the same look, but now they're all of a sudden lifestyle hotels. The hotel industry needs to get better at really understanding the true psychographics of people and creating different products that appeal to them. It's why I like two particular brands out there. I love both Margaritaville. I happened to go see Jimmy Buffett last night, and I love what Hard Rock is doing. I think those two brands really understand who their core clientele is and are creating products that truly fit into the lifestyle of those individuals. They understand it's more of a mindset as opposed to a design package in the room.
And
I love that.
Hard
Rock.
Go ahead.
I'm not necessarily a big fan of the product itself.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter, because they understand what they are, and they're appealing to a great audience. So as they've shifted a little bit, I've become more aligned with my likes and those likes. But they know what's going on. Margaritaville knows what's going on, and just a couple of other brands really know what's going on.
Going on, yeah.
What are you banging on over there?
Oh, sorry. I'm getting very excited to make these points, guys.
So, there you go. Well, let's make another point. Let's take a look at the brands themselves. Okay, they've created that lifestyle segment. They've created their soft brands. They're adding other brands. Do we have too many brands?
Depends who you ask. If you ask the average customer, they're going to say sure, because they don't even know what they are.
Right.
If you ask the guy who's selling them, he's going to say absolutely not. You know, the reason why we're creating more brands is to satisfy the desire for stock market and the Wall Street prices that these guys have. We have to keep selling new brands. And the brands make a lot of money selling, you know, brand spanking new hotel deals.
See, and I was just thinking that we ran out of flags in Anaheim around Disneyland. That was the only reason for it.
Right, yeah. Seriously, I mean, if you look at any of the major companies, and I do not fault any one of the major companies for this. I love all of my hotel industry brethren. But this is just the way it is. If you have a X company branded, you know, family of brands hotel on three of those four corners, mm-hmm. you're going to create a fourth brand to sell that other corner.
Yes, you are.
The nature of the universe. So asking the question of whether or not we have too many brands is almost, I think, irrelevant, because it's not like tomorrow we're going to have less of them.
Good point. You know, the funny thing is, you said, and you touched on it, is that if you ask the consumer, they'll go, I don't know, how many brands are there? I don't really know. It's like whatever catches my eyes, that's the one I'm going to go, and then I become a creature of habit relevant to that market, more likely. But I did think that Hilton, actually, with their new advertising, with the weekend, with, you know, what type of weekender you are, I thought that they had at least tried to address that by visual example, like if you're this kind or this kind of weekender or that kind of weekender. The only problem with it was, I still couldn't figure out which brand fits which kind of weekender.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's like, I mean, give me the brands before, you know, or during when you're doing the footage, but to just flash all the logos at the end of
the
thing,
bottom,
it's like you got my attention, but it didn't connect the dots for me. And so, but I think, and I'm sharing that as an example, because I think, again, it's a systematic problem with any large industry in part. But I think the sad thing about it with the hotel industry is that, you know, Greg, after you finish saying, you know, lifestyle is basically a label that means nothing. Greg basically says, "Well, how about these side hotels who have developed their lifestyle hotel?" And I'm like, "What is that really exactly, right? The wall is blue instead of the wall has, like, you know, texture on it, or the armchair
that seafoam green,
seafoam green and white with a little bit of brown and dark espresso, right?
There we go.
Right. First of all, seafoam green is a magical color. So don't take down seafoam green.
We're gonna start talking about unicorns now. What the heck?
But I will say, if you all want to know what the brands are thinking right now, the word of the year, I think, will be swim lanes. That is where we're headed right now.
Swim lanes?
Yeah.
Swim lanes. I'm sure you guys have heard that. For your listeners that don't understand that, what that means, all these companies have so many brands right now, they need to clearly differentiate what the brands stand for. So they're saying putting them in individual swim lanes. So that's the term of 2015.
Which you would think that if you're going to come up with different brands, that the first concept development step would be to differentiate and define the brand, not actually have a box and then try to figure out which slot you put it in.
But, you know, it takes us back to the never-ending puzzle of how they need to make more money so that this is the way it gets done. Again, you know, just a function of the nature of this universe.
Would you like a hotel that's the color that matches your car? I mean, you know, we'll give you this one if you like a franchise or a flag of that kind. No, but, I mean, with all that being said, that's the business side of it. But I think, don't you think that, I mean, I don't know. I'm asking the question. Do you think that the end user, the guest, the consumer, is actually gotten a little bit more sophisticated, or are they still pretty much whatever I can get and price conscious? I mean, what?
I think that, yeah.
And the loyalty programs.
Yeah. There's a bifurcation between these types of groups that you're talking about. There's absolutely the price conscious consumer that only cares about price conscious, but there's a more frequent traveler, and there's the more of that millennial mindset traveler. I think that's much more interested in the quality and style of the accommodations and the way that place makes them feel.
The experience.
And how it relates to their existence. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you caught this, Glenn, or not. I saw it this morning. There was an ad by Norwegian Cruise Line. And it's actually the guy that's the CEO. And the whole pitch, which I thought was interesting because it actually focused a little bit more in the visuals on baby boomers and retirees. But it also was all experience-based. And it was all about the concept of when you realize that you don't have as much time left, and so you become more specific about the quality that you spend your time with, and that it's all experience-based. And I have to say, I had never seen anybody in the hospitality, cruise, you know, kind of business actually make that connection in such a way. But if you haven't seen it, you might want to look at it. I thought it was an interesting pitch for
Very
them.
Interesting.
Right. And it showed different locale and people walking through streets, and it wasn't everybody's laying around the pool on the cruise liner, right, drinking mm-hmm. a cocktail. So
right.
It's fascinating for me because I think you have a marketplace that is, in a way, still looking for its own authenticity.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think that authenticity is really being done well with those brands that I mentioned before,
yeah.
Hard Rock and Margaritaville. They fully understand what they are, mm-hmm. who their customer is, and what that customer is desiring from a relationship with that brand.
Now, with Margaritaville, are you talking about purely the hospitality component, or are you talking about this new concept that they're doing, which is basically almost crossing into retirement communities?
Oh, well, they are going into retirement communities.
Yeah.
They've announced several of them at this point. I was, in this context, speaking specifically about the hospitality component of it, but, I mean, they keep introducing new lines of things that fit within that category.
Because
I've got some... I happen to know some of the people over there, and they were nice enough to send me some, giant parrot pool floats this summer. And when I was at the concert last night,
nice.
They're introducing an ice cream and sherbet line that incorporates some of the tropical flavors and the style and the essence of the brand DNA into ice cream and sherbet, of all things.
Right, which speaks to what you were saying before. This is a mm-hmm. brand that really understands its client, is a profile of its perfect client profile, and at the same time isn't trying to be everything for everybody.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can't be everything for everybody, because if you try to be everything for everybody, you're going to be nothing to nobody.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well said.
So what else are you seeing? What else are you seeing? He keeps making, he reminds me of the people that are basically saying, this will not stand. He keeps banging the table as he says these.
I thought he was practicing judgeship on TV.
Are you using your shoe there, Khrushchev?
Yeah, you guys are making me all heated over here. Part of the problem is my super quality stand-up desk is not standing up today. So usually I stand up doing these interviews. So today I'm seated, so I'm feeling a little uncomfortable. I'm feeling a little out of sorts, and I don't know what to do. So that's why we're banging away.
Yeah, and I'm not buying that for a minute, but that's okay.
Like the whole country, somebody just tweeted. Okay.
Like great. The whole country, somebody just tweeted is feeling uncomfortable. That's pretty good. We might have to go back to that. But what are you? Where are you thinking? Are you thinking they're going to be successful with doing this a lot of times, or are we just going to go through a melee of just self-reflection and trying to find ourselves with these brands? I mean, other than like Hard Rock or Margaritaville, which are, in my mind, very specific, okay? I mean, Hard Rock kind of came out very specific to begin with, and then they kind of got lost along the way a little bit, and they tried to kind of be everything, and especially with the time when W came out, and they were like, wait a minute, oh, this is our territory, why is W coming into it, right? But then they kind of found their niche again. What does the future of this industry look like as far as that kind of side of it? Not necessarily the money side, but the offerings, the authenticity. Is it smaller hotels? Is it more destination-driven, unique environment, unique locations? Is it still the large markets? Is it everything? What is it?
I hate to crap out on you, but I think it's going to be a little of all of the above.
Yeah.
I think that this industry is so giant right now. There's opportunities for the mainstream products, for the owner that just delivers a lot of reservations.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's great opportunity for independent brands relying on the soft, the soft branding with hotel companies to deliver those, cliched heads in beds. And then there's great opportunities for the future of creating exciting products that really resonate with somebody. If you want to talk about a product that I know is going to be a home run success on day one, is going to be that Star Wars hotel that's going to be opening in Orlando,
mm-hmm.
Especially if they add that role-playing component to it that they're talking about. That's going to be an extremely fascinating thing that I expect we'll see expressed itself. I'm sure Universal will do some sort of Harry Potter.
Can I ask a question as a listener and engineer here? I heard of the hotel, but I didn't hear about the role-playing thing. Can you just expand upon that a little bit?
And yet he's 60-something, so the role-playing got his attention.
I was there when that movie came out.
It's not role-playing like Dungeons & Dragons, although that was a lot of fun.
I remember that.
So, do you have a hidden desire to be Princess Leia, Paul, exactly, or what?
Han Solo. Oh, yeah. Yes, I want to be. Okay. Not. I don't want to put the cinnamon buns on my head. I don't think I could be Princess Leia.
Okay, go ahead.
But no, what are they going to do? You threw that term out, and I thought, what the heck are they going to do? It's not just going to be the rooms are going to look like I'm in the Millennial Falcon.
No, Millennium Falcon. No, you're actually going to be on a Star Cruiser, and you'll be out in space, and all of the windows won't be real windows. They'll be super high-definition video screens of space and all of that. And throughout your stay, you're going to interact with all of the characters within the Star Wars universe, and there'll be different storylines that are going on throughout it.
Oh,
so
my
it'll
goodness.
Be up to you to – it'll be like a create-your-own-adventure type of opportunity.
Basically,
the moment you walk into the spaceship until you leave.
Basically Westworld.
Well, yeah, Westworld or Total Recall, and you get there's a wardrobe component with it as well. So
you can dress up as a character all of the time you're on the property. I'm dressed up.
You can dress up, Paul. Yes.
And there's Starship troopers walking through the hallways and
stormtroopers.
Stormtroopers,
yes.
Not Starship Troopers.
Not Star Wars.
Wrong movie.
Wrong mixing movies here. Yeah,
they just did a sequel to Starship Troopers. I believe they've just finished principal photography on that. So look out for that.
Was it as good as the first one?
I hope so.
So it's an entertainment experience as well as a lodging stay.
See, but there's that word again. Okay, there's that word again, experience, that at some point almost became like saying greenwash, right? It didn't really mean anything.
Experience. Yeah, this is an actual experience.
But this is an actual experience
that most of us talk about all the time.
And individualized, like based on what he was talking about, is different storylines, and you can almost fashion your own experience around.
Sort of like going to Comic-Con, where everybody dresses up and acts this out throughout the day.
Or New York Con.
Or New York, one of those.
Except you have to pay for it.
And they're probably going to charge $1,000 per person per day.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. Cha-ching.
Right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, because the minute you start talking about outfits and wardrobe, do you want to go to the C-grade wardrobe department, or do you want to go to the A-grade wardrobe department?
What does virtual reality
add to that? A lightsaber or a plastic tube? I mean,
we're in the virtual reality capital of the country here. This is where they created the Oculus Rift in Orange County, and where all the big gaming companies are, Blizzard and whatnot. And I've gone to lots of these virtual reality conferences. I've never heard anybody say, we're going to bring that into the hospitality space and let you not just dress up as this character, but actually feel like you're in the spaceship.
They just announced that last month at D23 here in Anaheim. So, yeah. And they're also doing a Marvel Universe-themed hotel over in Paris Disney. So,
wow.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on.
That's going to be more of a traditional hotel with theming elements as opposed to a immersive.
Not going to be the immersive.
So will virtual reality add into this? Will they make it even more real? Will you be able to walk into a holodeck or green screen room and live out something? And
wrong space genre again,
Paul. I'm just trying to say virtual reality.
Know your genres. Come on.
I'm getting them all mixed up.
They threw in Star Trek there, too.
But that idea of walking into a virtual reality space where it comes alive and you actually feel like you're in the movie.
So in the midst of all this high tech, right? Because this is like seriously high tech environment building right there, right? In that midst of that, is there still a place in this industry for that small hotel in the north of Italy?
Yes,
that's like, you know, that is basically very low, very low tech, you know.
Yes, there is.
Where you sit under the tree?
Well, yeah, on Lake Como or Lake Lugano, and you're basically, you know, or like a Villa d'Este, for example, property up there. If anybody doesn't know about that, go check it out.
Yes, but you do it virtually. There's no real tree. You sit under a fake tree.
And that's what I'm saying. Is there a place for that kind of property?
Glenn?
Yes. Absolutely, yes. I'm trying to remember the name right now, but there's this amazing hotel, forgetting which Nordic country it is. I feel so bad that I'm having a brain freeze on this right now, but it's literally in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's like the guy's name is like Magnus von Magnussen or something like that. And it's one
of course he is, Norwegian.
Yeah, right. It's one of the world's top restaurants located within a hotel, literally in the middle of nowhere, that people actively seek out, and it's sold out every single night.
Right, yeah.
Really, really, really spectacular idea. So there's always going to be room for super special things that really connect with an audience, and especially if it's right sized, then it's a no lose situation.
So I'm gonna use you as an example. I mean, you're pretty seasoned. You've been exposed. I mean, Greg is another one. Actually, the question would go to both of you guys. As far as hotel properties, as far as destinations, experiences, escape, if you want to call it that, right? As you have gotten older, as you have gotten more seasoned in the industry, as you have experienced different things, where are you at now? Are you still sort of open to new experiences? Do you tend to basically maybe look at particular kind of ones? And I'll start with you, Glenn. What draws you now? I mean, you pretty much have the run of it. You can basically go anywhere. You can connect with anybody. You can pretty much experience anything. What is, when you decide to go and get away and have that escape, what do you look for?
I'm trying to look for something very different. As well-traveled as I am, it's mostly to conference rooms around the world. You know, it's not actually feeling, tasting, and touching things. And I know we started off the conversation talking about this Israel trip that I took, but that's really what I'm looking for, to connect with the world in a very different and interesting way that people weren't able to generations before us. I mean, I had the opportunity to go on an archaeological dig and dig up relics, pottery shards, pieces of oven, animal bones from over 2,000 years ago, from before the birth of Christ. I was the first human being to pull this stuff out of the ground since it was put there. I mean,
That's an experience
like none other. I rode ATV vehicles through an abandoned Syrian base that's now in Israel.
In the Golan Heights.
But it's right on the current Syrian border.
Yeah.
I mean, who thought I would get to go through bombed out buildings in an ATV? How amazing is that? So it's things that I want to come back to that you can have those bragging rights about. I think that's a general trend that we're seeing. Coming home and saying, hey, you're not going to believe what I did. How awesome was this experience? I think that's what we're really talking about.
You know, I agree with you, Glenn. And you and I are both more road warriors than anything else. We spend an inordinate amount of time in airports, airplanes, and hotels, and typically it's for a conference. You know, when I'm traveling, I want something that is going to be more water related. Okay, I want to get on a boat at a resort and go scuba diving for 3 or 4 days. I want that live aboard experience. Yeah, then I want to come back to the resort and I want to have 2 or 3 days decompress and just hang at the pool and have three people trying to, you know, pick up the towel that I dropped.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, there's my traveling today is dramatically different from what it was when I was in my 20s, my 30s, 40s, or 50s.
So what drove it? What drove your decision-making in your 20s and 30s and 40s, you think?
20s was probably income and the economics of I wanted to do something, whether it was a pass on Eurorail and basically walk and you know, tour cities that way throughout Europe and do that thing that my generation did in between that graduation from high school and first year of college, you know, to then getting a family and having a family vacation. Now, living here in Southern California, yeah, I grew up with Disneyland. My son grew up with Disneyland.
Right,
my grandson's going to grow
some
up with
destinations.
So we
want to
go somewhere else. So,
right.
Yeah, now whether it's, you know, on the East Coast.
Like Disney
or,
World?
We did do Disney World.
Yeah, like Disney World.
Yes, we did Disney World, yes. But we would do other things. I mean, we'd go to Michigan. We'd go to the Henry Ford. We'd do, you know, various other things. You know, we'd camping and those tactile experiences where you get and you're in an area that can be an absorption of you. And you've got that experience with your family. Yeah, you know, was a lot of what I was doing.
Memory building.
Yeah. So, yeah, but now it's usually water-related for me, and it's about luxury.
Now, you had an interesting experience recently by going on vacation with family, right?
I did.
Because what you had in mind going on the vacation and what you had happen on the vacation in terms of looking back at it was a little bit different, right?
A little bit different, yeah. I've got a place in the Hawaiian Islands that I've had for about 24 years. My son and daughter-in-law were celebrating their second wedding anniversary. My grandson just turned one, and I was turning 61. So there was a great not urgency, but a great wanting for all of us to be together and have a family vacation.
For you.
Yeah. Well, for all of us.
Oh, for all of us.
For all of us. And my son and his family, Sean and his family, got there first. They stayed in our place. I stayed next door. And then we all went to the Grand Wailea for a few days as well. And, you know, I got to take my grandson into the water where I took his father 35 and a half years ago for the first time. So we had a little bit of a family tradition start now. You know, my grandson, like my son, loves the beach. So, you know, it's going to be another water baby. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just a great experience. And I've got two step-grandchildren that I'm crazy about and love. And watching them explore tidal pools, watching them boogie boarding, you know, it was just one of those things that just really worked out well. And then they, you know, we all did the rapids and the water elevator and everything over at the Grand Wailea. So mm-hmm. that was a good trip. But
can I ask a question, though, as I'm listening to this?
Sure.
What I hear are those type of properties, the one Glenn was talking about, the one Rod's talking about, as one-offs, the kind of boutique stuff you talk about. How does a brand like Hilton create those sort of experiences other than the Disneyland
experience?
How do they bring that into
$100 million question?
Yeah.
That's always what confronts the industry.
Right. How do they make the McDonald's experience that they can replicate all over the place that you all want to have?
Well, I'm not sure we all want to have a McDonald's experience. I think you've
right.
heard me.
No, but they can replicate experiences.
Yeah. Right.
That's not the issue. Is how do you find the balance between replicating experiences in terms of economies of scale?
Right.
Right.
Okay, when you're a large entity, and also still provide that individualized experience.
Uniqueness, one-off, special thing.
Paul style, Craig style, yeah. Glenn style.
Right.
That's the interesting thing. Glenn, you know, I'm reminded, and I actually pulled it out, that it's a book that I've been trying to finish for the last three months.
Show it to our audience, too.
It's a book called The Business of Tourism, Place, Faith, and History. It's I'm going to show it right here. And the interesting thing about what we're talking about, and it's this concept of immersion, I think,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that this is exactly what Thomas Cook did back in 1841 when they tried to standardize or what they call the invention of organized tourism.
So.
Right? Where they were bringing people into Egypt, but they basically also had sort of control on the guides. They tried to standardize take out the negativity component out of the individualized experience.
Mm-hmm.
And they took something that was by cost factor, because, you know, you had to, like, basically, you know, outfit a friggin' boat to get on the Nile and all this stuff. By cost factor, only certain individuals could do. And by forming sort of what became known like organized tourism, they then opened that up for other people, a larger group of people's consumption. But it is the same thing.
It was predictable.
It's this immersion factor. No, but it was still an immersion factor of you basically getting local. Or you're going
right.
native almost.
Right. And when that started, right. it wasn't that. You know, it, mm-hmm. you know, due to television or no number of other factors, ease of travel, it became that.
But right. it wasn't before, because yeah. there was a certain premium that you had to do,
right.
whether it became more cost-effective premium or not, but there was still a premium.
So let me ask you one other question, then I'll shut up here. So does that element, does it need surprise or does it need predictability? In other words, when you go to the Margaritaville Hotel, like he was saying, there's a predictability to it. When you go to McDonald's, there's a predictability to it. And if you know it kind of what you're going to get, and that's why you're going there, as opposed to going scuba diving where you don't know what's going to happen.
What do you think, Glenn?
I think that the surprises of places like that come in small moments, usually between connecting between the guest and somebody that works within the hotel.
There you go.
I think the whole point is you want to be confident about what it is. It's a lifestyle hotel that matches my emotional aesthetic, right? So that has covered the big picture of it, and then it's those small moments, I think, that are really going to make a difference, really connect with people, and that's what gets them coming back. I did remember the name of the chef, Magnus Nilsson. The restaurant is called Fabiken, and it's in northern Sweden.
So you are half correct on your Magnus thing.
Yes.
Yeah. but it's interesting, because I think that is the common thread when it comes to hospitality, tourism, travel. that everybody from day one, from the day that some British guy basically went to the Victoria Albert Museum and saw an exhibit that were basically two sarcophaguses that were discovered by, you know, Lord whatever his name was, that basically found them in Egypt, and they started to imagine and romanticize the experience of being on the Nile.
His name was Lord Knows.
Lord knows who. Carnarvon, I think, or Carnarvon, something like that.
And then they started stealing your country blind.
Well, it wasn't my country, but yeah, they stole a hell of a lot of countries blind, right? And that's a story for a different day, because I think that is also part of what we is promoted by tourism.
So are you looking, when you're building a hotel, are you looking for predictability and surprise, or are you focusing more on one over the other?
By Jove, I think he has got it.
Yeah. Well, I think you got to know what you want to be.
Yeah, you got to know what you want to be. You got to know what the market is, and then you got to have that, you know. And you know, Glenn and I are both in agreement on this. The word "wow" is way overused in the hotel industry.
Right.
Rad's on that same page as well. But you know, you don't want a client having buyer's remorse as they're getting out of the cab or getting out of the car and coming into the hotel. So you've got to have that sense of arrival. You've got to have a staff that's engaging, that's smiling. You know, it's like when I'm in Vegas, I won't sit at a table if I've got a dealer that doesn't know how to smile. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to take my money, at least smile and entertain me, you know. So
is it predictable surprise? Is that what it is? Predictable?
No.
Because there has to be a predictability. I know what I'm going to get.
Predictability is that I'm going to order a BLT at midnight. And I know it's going to be a great sandwich.
Right.
It's not going to be an outstanding sandwich, but it's going to be a great sandwich, and it's going to fill the need that I've got.
And it'll come at a certain time, yeah.
If I want to go downstairs and have scrambled eggs and a chocolate shake for breakfast, I can do that. Okay? Now, I know that I can get out to the pool area, I can, you know, work in my room, whatever I need to do. Those are certain things, but it's those moments. It's the engaging of the staff. It's the grounds that are well-maintained. I mean, Glenn and I have been to so many hotels, and Rad, you have too, where they've deferred their maintenance, and it takes the luster off the jewel. And that's why I'm such a big proponent of not deferring maintenance.
Or they spend the money in something that is very much in passing.
Yeah.
And they lose their soul. And this goes back to this, you know, I mean, you always have turnover. You always have change in administration, operations, whatever. But it is really goes back to what Glenn's point was, I think, at the very beginning, is that you really need to know. What is your soul as a property, as a brand, whatever? You really need to know that, but you know it's not a superficial knowledge. It sounds kind of canned, but you got to eat it, sleep it, and breathe it.
Breathe it, you do. It's in our DNA. You've heard me say that every show.
So, right.
Hey, there's Glenn.
Multiple kinds of hoteliers. There's the dreamers, that create fascinating projects that we connect with, and then there's just the folks that are out to make a good living. There's no shame in either side.
That's
no,
right.
And there's a place for both, I think, and especially with, you know, that they both all come at different price points and they come at different destinations and availability and accessibility. So let's end the show with a couple minutes of what are some of your highlights of you doing the no vacancy show? What are some of the things?
And where are you going to be next, too?
Yeah,
other than the fact that I'm shocked that people actually listen to it. I mean, I think getting to speak with industry legends is probably, to me, the most significant part of it. Getting to have in-depth, intimate conversations where these people reveal their stories on how they got to be there. And I think that when I talk to, like, a legendary hotelier, Raymond Schultz, on how he not only created Hampton Inn, but created the whole, you know, select service segment. Talking to guys like Lee Pillsbury, talking to a gentleman like Harris Rosen, all of these folks that have made such a definitive difference in the way that we experience hotels today. And a lot of times we don't even realize that these are the faces behind all of these moments that we have in every one of our stays.
I was going to say that a lot of times we don't even know who was responsible. We just basically enjoy the fruits of their efforts. What are some of the some of the not so highlight moments? Do you have anything, any moments that you're like, you know, that was kind of a mess?
I'll tell you one of the things. It's not necessarily a mess. Sometimes you get folks that aren't as capable of having a conversation. Like, I find that the conversation we're having today to be really easy and free-flowing. I think the hardest part of my job is when people aren't as open as you two gentlemen are, and I wind up having to do all the heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. And then you wind up giving them, you know, the same problem I run into on stage, where sometimes you give people the answers within the questions, and they still can't handle it, and you just feel like it's going to be a complete and utter mess the entire time. The best conversations to me are the ones where we don't take things too seriously, have a lot of laughs in it, mm-hmm. but also we all wind up learning something from each other.
I think we will leave it on that note, other than would you tell people where you're going to be next, and again remind people how to get a hold of you and how they can listen in to your podcast.
That's a great thing. I'm going to be at a bunch of different events. I'm going to be hosting Chesapeake Hotel's annual conference, so you can check me out there. I'll be at a couple of Hotel ROI events in September as well as the ERC, which is an employee relocation conference, where I'm going to be shooting video for my Here to Stay TV project, all about select service on the extended stay and service department
business. Interesting.
I'll be doing all that, and hopefully coming to a city near wherever you guys are listening from around the world.
Glenn, are you going to be at the lodging conference?
I am going to be at the lodging conference. I'm happy to say I'll be hosting a general session panel there, and I'll be doing remote recordings of the No Vacancy podcast all week. And Craig and Rad, if you're going to be there, we've got to get together and do a show.
I'll definitely be there. Rad, are you coming?
When is it?
It's Halloween. It's at the Halloween. Arizona Biltmore. It's
I probably can make it. September is a busy month for me.
For a couple of spa industry
shows, but October is open. Yeah, that'd be great.
Check it out. Register and get a room. Yeah. So, hey, Glenn, after Alice, I'm hoping that you might have a little bit of time and maybe you can come into the studio and we'll do a show here.
I would love that. Always time for talking to my good friends.
I appreciate it, my brother.
Thanks for being here with us this afternoon, Glenn. It was really, as always, a pleasure to spend some time with you, buddy. And
Rad, we got to get you on No Vacancy really soon too.
Anytime. Just let me know. I'd love to do that. And a lot of people listen. And if you want to be surprised about people listening, it'll be for this show. But yours, we hold it in high regards, my friend. So keep doing the good work, and I'll look forward to seeing you soon.
Great, thanks, guys.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Glenn. Take care, and remember to listen to Glenn Houseman's No Vacancy podcast. Thank you, everybody.
And how do they reach you guys here?
Greg?
Well, they can reach me at Sully@BroughtonHotels.com.
And you can reach me
at the show.
And spell Broughton.
B-R-O-U-G-H-T-O-N.
You can reach me at Rod, R-A-A-D, period, Gantus, G-H-A-N-T-O-U-S.com, at gmail.com. And you can always call me at 949-212-8299. Join us in 2 weeks for another exciting show of Check Out California, your key to California hospitality.
Thank you, everybody.